Leave those words up there, those last words right there. Just to be in your presence, I give my everything. That includes not only what's good from your life, but to be in the presence of the Lord, we first gotta give unto Him what's not good in our lives. To be in His presence. He knows everything you're going through here this day. He knows everything that still remains in your life that's not of Him. And it's when we find ourselves in the presence of the Lord that we're able to identify what's still left within our life that needs to be dealt with. That a relationship with somebody can't do, that any amount of money in the world cannot do. But there's only one that can go in your heart here this day and remove what is not of Him. And I believe there's some here this day that the Lord wants to do an open heart surgery, so to speak. You need to open your heart for Him to do the surgery. An open heart surgery. But too many times we keep our hearts closed. And we not let the one that is able to cleanse us and wash us, the one that created us, to enter our heart to do that surgery that's needed. It's called an open heart surgery that the Lord wants to do here this day. But before He puts you out under anesthesia, amen, He first needs, anytime you get a surgery, you're there, they got the IV hooked up. Up a thing on, and you got to sign off. To the doctor doing the surgery on your life, if something was to go wrong and you would die in the midst of that surgery, that doctor is not held liable. Hear this day. The Lord is not looking for your signature or anything. He's just looking for your heart's approval. Because that's what I'm going to be speaking about today, is the heart. He's looking for heart approval to do this much needed open heart surgery within your life. Father, here this day, we thank You. We love You. We give You full permission here this day to take on this open heart surgery within our lives. We allow You to enter, Lord Father God, no matter what You may find wrong. We allow You to enter, Lord. Because we know whatever you find wrong, Lord Father God, that one, You're able to remove it, and two, You still love us just the same, Lord. And I pray here this day for a cleansing of the hearts of Your sons and daughters, Lord Father God. In Your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here this morning in the house of God. Amen. You may have your seats here this day. Worship team, great job. You may have your seats as well. The presence of the Lord is already here. Amen. So because of that, There needs to be no fellowship taking place right now. We need to give a high reverence unto the Lord here this day. When they do surgery, it's not in the notes. It's just the Lord's giving me this stuff right now. Amen? Sometimes they make you fast before you go into a surgery or go do blood work, for they can get better, clearer results of what's taking place within your life. But the surgery room is all, it's all clean, disinfected. Amen? Because there's going to be an open heart surgery taking place. And right now, I just ask that everybody give a high reverence unto the preaching of the gospel here this day, because heart surgery is taking place right now. And I don't want you to interrupt somebody's heart surgery that's taking place in someone's life here this day, nor do I want somebody else to interrupt your heart surgery that's taking place here this day. Amen? That goes for those online, viewing through online as well. I would pray that you would get your house in order. There's a few there, and you feel because you're not in church that you can just carry on and talk through the message. It's kind of hard for the Lord to do heart surgery when we're the doctors ourselves. We think we're okay. But the physician of physicians is here this day. And there's nothing that he can't remove, and there's nothing that he can't deposit as well within your life. The only thing that can stop him and hinder him from doing his work is you and I. Amen? We have a good turnout here this morning. I want to thank you all for making your way to church here this day, and no matter all that's currently taking place in this world we live in this city that we live in, amen. I want to thank you for your faithfulness, amen, commitment, and being here at the church service this morning. We've been on the full armor of God now for many weeks, and we just finished on the sword of the Spirit last week. I think I had four parts on the sword of the Spirit, because it was something very important. And here this day, we'll be going on to the fifth part of the full armor of God. And today we're going to be studying the breastplate of righteousness. Amen? The breastplate of righteousness. This area right here. This area right in here. The title of this morning's message is A Time to Recognize Jesus Through the Breastplate of Righteousness. I'm going to give a paraphrasing title to that. That's the whole breakdown to the whole service this day would read something like, it means the same thing, broken down. And that would be a time to recognize Jesus by doing what is right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. We come before you here this day, Lord Father God, allowing you, you have our consent, Lord, to do open heart surgery within our lives. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you go forth this day to every man, woman, and youth that is present here this day, every man, woman, and youth that is present viewing through Facebook, that you would touch all of us with your word this day, and that you would cleanse our hearts of anything and everything that is not of you. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. As we go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 14, I'm going to the NIV translation. It gives it a little bit clearer in what I want to speak about here this morning, but the rest of the verses that will be given will all be in the NLT translation, amen? The New Living Translation. In the NIV translation, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, and the Bible reads, "Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." And this is the one, the next, what I'm going to read is what we're going to be speaking about. "With the breastplate of righteousness in place." Tell your neighbor, "In place." In the soldier's armor, the breastplate would cover their midsection, that would cover all the main organs of a soldier. Amen? The breastplate of righteousness. It was a plate that would cover the midsection of a man's body. And one of the main organs that it would cover would be the organ called the heart. The heart. The most important being the heart, I put in my notes. The liver, the kidneys, all these other organs are very important. You need them to survive. But the Bible don't really speak much about the kidneys, your liver, but it does speak plenty within the organ called the heart. The breastplate of the soldier also came with a symbol of identification. Amen? The breastplate that the soldier would put on would come with a symbol of an identification of what army that soldier belonged to. And this breastplate here, if you can zoom it in, please. We see a symbol, like an emblem here. Amen? There's an emblem here. There's a symbol. And in the Roman times, when the men were fighting in battle, and there would be thousands duking it out, with swords and all the instruments of battle that they had back in the days. And they would be in hand-to-hand combat where thousands would be battling, and they would have to be able to identify who their men were and who the enemy was. Just as in sports, in football, each team don't come with the same uniform, or the helmets will have a star. Who in the heck, what NFL team has a star in their helmet? Oh, I forgot. The Cowboys. The Green Bay Packers. The Oakland Raiders. And the Chicago Bears. The Detroit Lions. The Cardinals. All these teams would have the symbol, whether it was an animal, whatever it was, a star, to allow everybody watching TV what team was on the field. And within the Roman soldiers, they would have a symbol to identify what army they were in. There's even gang members here in the great city of Milwaukee. They have symbols and colors and caps going this way, that way. Take the until I call for them, amen? There we go. That represent, for those that know what time it is, what gang they're from. So in the breastplate of righteousness, just as the one here at the altar, there's a symbol there that tells you where that soldier's from, what army he belongs to. I have a few illustrations and examples here. So we go to the first one. Can we turn the lights off, altar lights off, please? Who's in control of these lights? Because we got to get quick, man. It's showtime. So this is one, a leather one here. And he has a big old lion on the top. A couple of, looks like some rhinoceroses. Dragons. Amen. Give us another example. This one has a, looks like a lion with wings. It looks like a, wait, I ain't done yet. Go back. Then at the real bottom of it, looks like a marijuana leaf. Go to the next one. This one got some wheat on it, some horses at the top. Go to the next one. What the heck? What's that? That must be a mistypo. We can't see the head of whoever this guy is, but all we got to be able to see is the S. And from the kids to the oldest here this day, know that that is none other but Superman. Lights back on. We knew that was Superman. There was no head on that. That's a Superman. The breastplate of the soldier also came with a symbol of identification. It was a clear way for soldiers to recognize each other in battle. In battle. For there would be no confusion. Likewise, the point I want to make here this morning. Our behavior, tell your neighbor, our behavior. Everybody focus here this day. Our behavior as Christians should identify us belonging to Christ. Our behavior as Christians should identify us as belonging to the army of God. Our behavior. I have a point here this day. Simple point says, the world and church are watching our behavior. Superman was really a guy, but when trouble would rise up, he would turn into Superman. He wasn't really Superman all the time. He had a life. And I believe there's too many Supermans in the church. Sometimes you're Superman, sometimes you're not. Sometimes you act like a Christian and sometimes you don't. When our lives should identify us with Christ, not only on Sunday morning, but as a lifestyle. But as a lifestyle. Should identify us as belonging to Christ. Real simple points, but the Lord gave them to me. There's too much confusion in the church. Not just in the streets, but there's too much confusion in the church because not that we're not in a good church, that we don't have a great pastor, but there's too much confusion in the church because of our identification and in the way that we carry ourselves and our behavior, that at times we don't know if we're in the army of God or not. At times there's confusion in the church and we're taking each other out because of our behavior comes and goes, blows in and blows out like the wind. Living in end times, I'm going to give you end time messages. We're getting really close to the book of Revelation. It's important the way you act. This message is for the man, the woman, that wants to be upon God's business. That wants to be recognized, whether in the world or in the church, as a man of God, as a woman of God. A man, a woman that belongs to God. And you can identify that man, you can identify that woman simply by their behavior. Question. Is your behavior in Christ identifying you not only as a Christian, but is your behavior in Christ identifying you as a growing Christian? It takes 10 seconds, about 10 seconds to get saved. It takes a lifetime to be a growing Christian. Is your behavior currently identifying you as a growing Christian or one that got saved years and years ago and through whatever might have took place, you're a Christian, but a non-growing Christian. You're still at the same place type of Christian. The good news here this day is that you can get back in track, back in position, doing things the right way, so the Lord may be able to finish the good work that He has started within your life. I'm not here this morning to preach a message to win a popularity contest, because I lost that one 18 years the day I came to Milwaukee. But I'm here to preach the gospel, or you would fall in love with Jesus, the ways of Jesus, the promises of Jesus for your life, where you don't have to stay a Christian, but still in the same place, under the same circumstances, under the same lies of the enemy. It's important to have the breastplate of righteousness in place. In place. Having the breastplate of righteousness. Go once again to 614, please, NIV. Stand firm then with the belt of truth. Buckle around your waist. Listen. With the breastplate of righteousness in place. The breastplate of righteousness here is right here. It's not over here. It's not sagging somewhere over here. It's not over here. It's not a fad, a phase that we go. It's right here. This is where God designed the breastplate of righteousness to be in your life, in my life, in place. Key word, in place. The breastplate of righteousness, it's important. It needs to be in place. Why? Well, for one, that it would protect your heart. But I really want to push on the area this morning that when the breastplate of righteousness is in place, it's not only able to protect your heart, but it's also able to cleanse your heart. We look at this part of the armor of God that He calls for us to wear, and it openly looks like protection, and it is. But when this breastplate of righteousness is in place, it's able to cleanse and wash your heart. Pastor, why does my heart need to be cleansed? I need protection right now. The enemy's really getting in on me. I need protection. I need the breastplate to protect me right now. My heart is broken in two. I need protection. Pastor, why does my heart need to be cleansed? As we go to Jeremiah chapter 17, NLT, verses 9 through 10, the Bible speaks about the condition of our hearts. It says the human heart, not the lion heart, not the dog heart. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things. I'm going to give you a quiz right now. What's the most deceitful thing within the human body? Is your heart. The human heart, this is God's perception of our hearts. When the breastplate of righteousness is not in place, when Jesus ain't in the center of our lives, on a good day, this is our heart. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Verse 9 says, who really knows how bad it is? None of us really know how bad the condition of our heart is right now. Some of you think the only time the condition of your heart ain't good is when you feel like, ugh, take me to the hospital. Who really knows how bad it is? No one. Verse 10 gives the answer, and it's the Lord. But I, the Lord. Go back to verse 9. Who really knows how bad it is? No one. I put here in my notes, even though we might say he or she got a good heart. Have you ever heard anybody, or have you ever said, come on, Pastor, man, she's got a good heart. He's got a good heart, Pastor. Give him a chance. Give her a chance. How many said that before? Hey, Pastor, give him a chance. Give her. He or she's got a brave heart. They're loyal. They got a loyal heart, Pastor. They have a loving heart, Pastor. She has such a loving heart. Pastor, come on. He has a loving heart. Can he come into the rehab? Pastor, she's got such a soft heart, a gentle heart. Give her a chance. Give him a chance. I even got another one. Pastor, he or she's got such a forgiving heart, Pastor. Can they come to the rehab because he wants to kill his wife? But he's got a forgiving heart, Pastor. He really is a good person. Have we ever said that about somebody, or has anybody ever said that about you trying to explain the condition of your heart? Who really knows how bad it is? Only God. Verse 10 says that but I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. The majority of time that people get caught slipping in the church is because of secret motives that he or she may not know about, that I may not know about, but that he examines. Secret motives of why you're doing what is nice. Because there's something in return that you want from it. The Bible says that the Lord searches the hearts and examines secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. There's only one that knows the condition of our heart, and his name this morning is Jesus. It's Jesus. The Bible says there at the end that I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Actions deserve. Another word for actions, their behavior deserves. Now, this could go either way for you. According to their actions, kind of sounds like on the negative side, but it could be on the positive. According to what their actions, their behavior deserve. If you were God, and you were looking into your heart, to your actions, would it be something good you got coming that you deserve? Or something not that good that you got coming that you deserve by your actions, your behavior? Too many times we want what is good from God, but we continue to do what is wrong, behave incorrectly, have secret motives, and we want to slip through the crowd undetected of what's taking place within our hearts. And the Holy Spirit is saying, wait a minute, come back. You walked in this morning. Hi. What's up, Pastor? Hey, what's up? Hey, sister. Hey, brother. How you doing? Mm. God bless you. God bless you and you and you and you. It's so good to be in the house of God here this morning. Everything looks in place. You walk by and the Holy Spirit say, hey, back up, back up, back up. Nothing's in place. You see, this day, if you want to be changed and you want that open heart surgery to be a success, if you want to be used as a man of God, a woman of God, in these end times that we're living in, not just to get right and be right, but to help others get right and to be right, you're going to have to do what is right. Too many trying to be blessed of God this morning and still living like the devil. The condition of your heart has not changed. You're still yelling. You're still cussing. You're still fighting. You still hate that brother. You still hate that sister, even though it's only been 10 years. And the Holy Spirit is saying, stop. We got to stop playing church. People are dying right now. If you want to reap the benefits of my promises that are true, that are able to set the captive free, you're going to have to do what is right. You're going to have to make right decisions within your life. You cannot continue to do the same old thing and expect the blessings of God, expect the anointing of God to come upon your life, to operate through your life in these end times that we're living in. Stop! Stop it already! That's religion. I'd rather you come in and tore up clothes this morning and be a man of God, a woman of God. Instead of being all worried what you look like on the outside and not concerned in what the Lord is examining here this day, and that is your heart. Pastor's being nice to you here this morning. I'm trying to break you of religion. I'm trying to break you that you can come to church and still act however you want to act. I'm trying to break you. If you get a text, don't answer it. Turn your phone off right now. I challenge you. Turn your phone off right now, for you don't have to keep peeking at it as I'm preaching. Turn your phone off. Mine is off and it's in the office. And I'm the senior pastor. Mine is off. It's time we wake up. Because that's your spiritual father. I want your life to have victory. Jesus victory. I want, when they identify you, say, yep, he's a man of God. Yep, she's a woman of God. Not, well, she was doing good. He was doing good. It's time to own up for our behavior, for our actions. It's time to stop blaming others for the condition of your heart. Sorry, but I forgot to put be nice all through this message. Amen? Se me fue la onda. So, I forgot to put be nice. I am being nice. I want you to be identified as a man of God, a woman of God. You don't need an S on you for them to know you're Superman. Ephesians chapter 14, once again, the NIV says, the last part says, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. It's so important. If you could just get that one. Righteousness just means the right thing, doing the right things. Having the right things taking place in your life right now, in place. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 24 reads. Let's go back. Take it off, please. Take the scripture off, please. The breastplate of righteousness in place, to me, simply means the breastplate of righteousness in place. Simply to me means doing what is right. I put in my notes, must be in place in your life. Doing what is right must be in place within your life. Doing what is right must be in place within your life. If you keep going the wrong way, you're going to end up at the same destination. Don't think you can keep going the wrong way, end up somewhere else. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 24 reads, but my people, this is God speaking through the prophet, my people, this ain't the lost and the bound, but my people would not listen to me. They kept doing whatever they wanted, following the stubborn desires of their evil hearts. Get this last line. They went backward instead of forward. You could be in church here this morning and still be going backwards. It's called religion. It's called religion. They went backward instead of forward. Aren't you tired of being deceived by the enemy? He's always trying to hook you up, get over, double up, but he's really taking you backwards. Doing what is right is important. Not just for the guys in the rehab home that are all taking notes right now, but for you in the church. This is one big rehab home right now, this Sunday morning. Every man, every woman, every child, you're in the Holy Ghost hospital, the rehab, amen? You're in the rehab this morning. You need some rehabilitation in your heart. You need some rehabilitation in your thinking, in the desires of your heart. You need a change. You need the rehab. Oh, I don't do drugs, Pastor. It don't say if you only do drugs, your heart is more evil than anything else. Doing what is right is important. I placed in my notes, in my 23 years, I've never seen a man or a woman go forward in Christ doing what is wrong. Never. Never, never, never. I've seen a lot of men and women going forward just to go backwards again. But I've never seen a man or woman continuing to do the wrong things and continue to go forward in the things of God. Not the job place or the world, but regarding in the things of God. I've never seen it. I've never seen it. But there's some here I put in my notes this day still thinking they can get away in doing what is wrong. And that's where we have a problem. You'll say stuff like, I don't care. Look at me. Does it look like I care? No. Say hi to the hand or whatever, however it goes. Amen? You better go somewhere else with that. Now, I'm telling you the truth, JoJo. Doing what is right is important. But there's still some that think they're nickel slick, street smart, and you can sacar la vuelta. You can, they won't know. I'm going to play it off better this time. Nobody going to know it. Nobody going to peep game in the way I'm smooth. I'm like Sade. I'm that smooth operator. Pastor, what happened with the smooth operator? Doing what's right needs to be in place in order for your heart to be cleansed and protected. Your actions will either pollute your heart, even worse, or your actions will purify your heart. Your breastplate of righteousness, of doing what is right, needs to be in place. It needs to be in place. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, the Bible reads, "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." Wherever your treasure is. Another word for treasure, whatever you value. Whatever you value as being important, that's where you're going to find your heart. And there's so many times that your treasure, what you value, is not what the Lord values. It's not a treasure. We are treasures out of darkness. Why are we treasures that have been taken out of darkness? Because the Lord values our life. We are His treasures that He has taken out of darkness through the blood of His Son by doing what was right at the cross. Even when He was without sin. What's your treasure right now? What are you valuing right now where you're going after like a hound dog? It's your treasure. You're on it. My pastor always says, you want something bad enough, you're going to get it. What's your treasure? What has value right now before you that you are seeking with all your heart? I mean, you're going to do whatever it takes to get with her. You're going to do whatever it takes, come high water, to get with him. I don't care what the pastor says. God spoke to me. Poor sister, she's a treasure out of darkness, and pastor can't see that. But I see it, and I'm going to go save her is what I'm going to go do. She is my treasure. I value her. I value him. There, the desires of your heart will also be. Your desires represent your actions, your behaviors. How many know that we got to act? Our behavior's got to be a little different in different situations, right? When I was in the prison system, I would walk like this. When you come to church, we put on another mask. You're going to go eat somewhere at the waitress. You're going to put on another mask because you're hungry. You have desires of hunger that you want met. Yes, my please have 3 burritos with onions. And that's Taco Bell order for I do. And 1 chicken quesadilla. Would that be it, sir? Yes, ma'am. Thank you. It's like, get it right, because I'm hungry. I want to close with Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 to 27. You got to take control for your actions. You got to take ownership for your behavior. Stop blaming it on other people. Verse 23 says, guard your heart. Not her heart, his heart. But Pastor, God spoke to me. You know how many times I've heard that in my 23 years of salvation? About 1,000 times. You know how many of them came to pass? Not one. Because it wasn't God. It was the flesh. It says, guard your heart above all else. Why? It's deceitful above all else. Guard your heart above all else. Check this out. For it determines the course of your life. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Everything Pastor's been saying is true. Yeah. What's going on in here? La vas a caminar. You're going to walk it. I already made my mind up, Pastor. I don't care what you say. I got to do this for myself. No one else is going to do it for me, Pastor. Or this one. No one else is going to pay my bills, Pastor. I can't give. I can't tithe because ain't nobody, you ain't going to pay my bills. There was a time you didn't have a bill. There was a time you didn't have an address. There was a time you didn't have anything. Be blessed to have bills today. Be blessed to pay your apartment rent. Be blessed to pay your mortgage. Because all of that is from God. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. The word for Pete, wherever Pete is, amen? Thank the Lord that we don't have a Pete in the congregation. That was a word for somebody viewing through Facebook. Pete, keep your feet from following evil, Pete. And your name rhymes with feet, Pete. Don't ever forget that. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet. Or it might be to a woman here that's seeking a Pete. Keep Pete. Keep your feet from following Pete. That's for a sister. And if that is you, I just want you to make the altar call right now. Sister, keep your feet from following Pete. Is that it? No more feet, Pete's? Verse 23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. I want you to do a little quiz for yourself right now. According to your behavior, what you've been doing on the down low in secrecy before the Lord, before people, how's your life doing? How's your life? According to your behavior, your actions, because remember, It determines the course of your life. How's your life going right now? Could it be matching up with the condition of your heart? How's your life doing? Well, Pastor, you know, I'm not doing drugs no more. I got a job. You know, I'm paying my bills. Things are good. Now, what have you done for Jesus lately? What have you done for Jesus lately? Because what's taking place in here is going to come out. Whether it's good or bad, it determines the course of your life. But the good thing about the grace and mercy of Jesus, that today, by making a decision from your heart that the Lord is able to examine, you can change the course that your life is on right now. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of obedience. It can change your heart and the course of your life. Today can change. But it's got to become your desire. And you're going to have to do what is right. To expect the condition of your heart and life to make a shift. You can say all the right things. You can dress up right. But inside, God knows the motive of your heart. How important is your life? Is it a treasure? What's of value to you here this day? Because whatever it is, the altar call here this day, I just want everyone's prayer to be, Lord, help me do what is right. I want being right in my life to be in place starting today. I want what's right that comes from you to be in place starting today. I want to address, Lord, though you already know, I want to come clean with you, Father, this day. That I want to be right. Not just look right before people, but most important, I want to be right before you, Lord. Because I know it determines the course of my life, my destination, my marriage, my children, the drug addict, the gang member, the prostitute, the college people of the city, the lost, the bound. They should be able to follow according to the behavior of a man and a woman. Because there's a symbol of identification on our lives and doing things the right way that should allow others to follow us and to be able to find Christ. Can the lost and bound follow your life, the course that you're on, and in doing so, can they find Jesus? Or will they find themselves somewhere out there in right field somewhere? Can the lost and bound find Jesus according to your life, to your behavior here today? And if the answer is no, it's okay. My advice would be to you, follow someone else. As Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow someone else that you're sure of that's going the right way in the church. Humble yourself. To be a leader, you first need to learn how to follow. Too many want to lead Want to be in charge. Want to have the first word, last word. When you should be following. As I could kindly please have the worship team come up. Go to verse 14, please, of Ephesians chapter 6. With the breastplate of righteousness in place. Simple points here this morning that the Lord gave me. They're so simple that they can be applied. Doing what is right. You know how I know we can do what is right? Because when you do what is wrong, you need to hide. If you couldn't do what is right, you would have no need to hide when you're doing wrong. That's from the Lord right there. That's why I know every one of us knows how to do right. But God needs to become our treasure. And we need to value Him to the point of putting Him first. Putting Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, doing what He did that was right on the cross. And everything else will fall into place. How's everything that you're trying to work out to come out right by doing what's wrong going to take place? By putting Jesus first. By putting value on the name of Jesus. It's been a theme for months now. Recognizing Jesus needs to have value within your life today. Instead of recognizing her, him, the job, whatever it may be, and there's nothing wrong with those things, but they just can't be first in your life. They just can't be the treasure. Because when you value Jesus to the point of putting him first in your life, the Bible says that is where your heart is. And when your heart is in Jesus, He can't help but to cleanse it and to wash it and to allow you to become a powerful woman of God, a powerful man of God. Because when you value Jesus, He values you. When you're upon your Father's business, He'll take care of your business. What's on your heart here this day? Who's on your heart? What's on your heart? Because that determines the course you're on, and it also determines your destination, where you're going to end up at. I don't know about you, man, but it's easier doing it the right way, people, than doing it the wrong way. Switching up lies here and there, another lie to switch up that lie, to switch up that lie, to switch up that lie. Too many compulsive Christian liars. In prison, they would slap you with the habitual. For lying, do the rest of your life in prison. You just keep lying and lying. You never learn from lying. In other words, you never get in the truth. We're living in end times, people. We have everything here this day to put Jesus first, to do what is right. How long will you stay on that course of going the wrong way, doing things the wrong way? How long? Will you reap the benefits of going the wrong way? I want us to stand here this day, those viewing through Facebook. For an hour I've given the love of Jesus to you guys. He's the Father, just like I'm a father. But He's our Heavenly Father. He's able to do all things. In any heart, in every heart, no matter where that heart's been, no matter what that heart's done, He's able to erase it. But you got to be willing to do what is right. And sometimes to do what is right, you got to lose what you got. And too many still want to hold on to what has you going the wrong way. Let go. Let God hear this day. Trust God. Don't trust on her, him, or those things. Trust God. Do what's right. Whatever the song is, I'm going to open up the altars here this day, whatever the song is. The Lord's providing the fire here this day. The all-consuming fire of God. But you got to sacrifice going the wrong way. To do things the right way. What is it in your life that you're still doing that you know is wrong? It's easier to do right than it is to do wrong. You